Hello, beautiful people. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we start this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could please follow or subscribe to us on your preferred podcasting platform and leave us a rating or review. Thank you so much and hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, welcome to Unapologetically Asian, a place where we talk about navigating through adulthood as Asian Australians. You're joined by Twi and
Tiana. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this episode. We hope that you're having a sensational day wherever you are. Thank you so much for your feedback and your love and support on our first episode back into season 2. We really do appreciate it all. So today, we wanted to talk about a topic that is a little bit more heavier than our previous episode, and that is our reflections and the conversations that we've had with our friends and family around Black Lives Matter. But before we jump in, we want to say that,
like, we're still learning. I'm just going to be straight up. A few weeks ago, right, just, you know, before the protests and stuff happened, I considered myself, like, not a racist, but then after learning about all these things, I realized I had so many inherent prejudices didn't know existed. Mm-hmm. And now it's all coming to light after educating myself and reading more posts and understanding mm-hmm. why these protests and all that are happening. And it's like, it's an ongoing process. I'm still fucking learning. So I think in this episode, we'll try not to be like preachy or anything. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to talk as though we're like fucking experts and that we're, you know, we know everything. This episode will just be talking about our feelings towards this.
So I guess we'll start off by talking about our initial thoughts and reactions to the events that transpired with George Floyd, with Breonna Taylor, and so many others. Black Lives Matter, I read up a little bit about it, and this movement has been happening since 2016. But, you know, obviously this has been happening for a lifetime, right? So how did you feel when you saw all these stories pop up on the news and on your newsfeed?
Well, my first stint into the latest round of protests and stuff, there was that video of George Floyd's murder making rounds around the internet, and I remember seeing it on my news feed, and I just didn't want to watch it. I saw, like, I scrolled past it and I'm like, oh shit, it's another police brutality. I hate it how I have to say it. It's another.
Yeah,
it's like, it's so fucked.
It's fucked up.
It's so fucked up. But then because I'm like, to a certain degree, I'm kind of desensitized to, like, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It sounds so terrible. But then I remember scrolling past it. I'm like, oh my God, another fucked up police brutality video. And then I scrolled on. So initially it was like that. And then more posts started coming up. The protests started happening. And then I was just like, oh shit, this is, it sounds so ignorant. I hate it. But then I was like, wow, this is actually a big deal. And then that's when I started doing more readings, watching more documentaries. And I'm like, holy shit, it's just opened up a whole new narrative that I was completely ignorant and unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my initial, my initial thought was just like, it's just another article. But now I've realized, like, wow, there's actually, it's a lot more than just another fucking article. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I appreciate that you're being so honest about it, because I think a lot of people feel like that. Something that I found really eye-opening when all this was occurring was that at the beginning, I would never question why I was so desensitized to all of these horrid events that happened. Like, I would see it on my newsfeed, or I would see it in a news article, and I'd be like, that's disgusting, and like, I can't believe that's happening. But then a switch would happen in my brain where I'd be like, well, what can I do about it? I'm just like some, you know, 24-year-old in Australia. I'm so far removed from this situation. How can I contribute positively to this? And I would feel powerless. I would feel unable to help. I wouldn't know what to do, to be honest. And because of that feeling and that discomfort, I would then try to, you know, look at something else or try to take my mind off of it. But what I've learned from this situation is that I am sitting in a place of privilege. Yes, as Asian Australians, we have dealt with racism, but we have never experienced the hardships of these black people. And I felt like such a shitty person, to be honest, because I was like, you know, I thought I wasn't racist as well.
Yeah,
I thought,
same, man.
I thought that I wasn't a bad person. That's what prompted me to then read all these posts and listen and check in And I think one of the first steps was just to call myself out and be like, you know what, I'm not perfect. There are times where I've definitely probably had these thinkings and inklings of racial prejudice without even knowing.
Mm.
And we're people of color, man. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I still have those thoughts. So yeah, I think the next step for us, or for me personally, I think is just starting the conversation more often, right? Whether it's at the dinner table with your friends and whatnot. I don't know about you, but man, because this shit's all over the news, right? And it's not a pretty picture that media is painting of, especially the protests.
Mm.
They're showing a lot of violence that's been happening, even though I would say majority of protests are very, very peaceful. But the looting was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, that was all over the news. And every single day, I would hear my parents complain about America right now. Like, they'll always be saying shit like, oh, man, look at these people, these rioters, they're looting, stealing, pillaging, you know, causing such destruction. God, they're such like terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bring up the question like, do you know why they're doing that in the first place? They're mm-hmm. like, oh, it's because a police officer killed some dude. And they just said it so like nonchalantly, like, oh yeah, it's just another death on the street. And I was just like, well, it's actually more than that. You know, this shit has been going on for like ages, and the reason behind the murder is most likely, definitely due to racism and police brutality. And mm-hmm. that's an actual problem in America and actually all over the world right now. That's mm-hmm. why it's happening. And that's why people are making, I guess, such a big deal out of it, if you want to say it like that. They were just so, so bloody focused on the fact that people are looting and stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, cool, whatever. But they're still stealing stuff. Why are they stealing stuff? Why are they burning the flags? Mm. Like, why are they being so dramatic and everything? And on top of that, because of the whole pandemic,
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh, they don't even care about, you know, the citizens going around, spreading the disease and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, it's not the best situation, especially during a pandemic. Yes, looting is bad, but putting that aside, are you able to understand the context as to why, the reason why this is happening in the first place?
Mm.
And they just stare at me blankly and like they just refuse to acknowledge anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I bring up like the whole idea of racism, they always get really defensive. They're like, people are racist to us too.
Mm-hmm.
But and then they bring up the model minority thing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where they're like, oh yeah, we came to Australia with nothing and we copped a lot of racism from people around us as well, but you know, we just ignored them, worked hard,
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, we follow the law, we're good citizens.
It's so interesting that you bring it up, because I didn't realize how inherently ingrained the model minority is even mm-hmm. here in Australia. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, the model minority concept perpetuates this idea that although Asians are an immigrant group living in a predominantly white society, and despite the discrimination and hardships that come with that, they're able to achieve success. And they do this via hard work and by abiding the law and by basically moving within the constraints of the society that they live in. So therefore, they defy the odds and prove that, you know, they're able to achieve success even in a country where they are perceived as the minority.
Yeah.
But this mentality is so toxic.
So toxic.
And I didn't know this until I saw more posts on Instagram and stuff like that. But this mentality, it's rooted in anti-blackness, because it's diminishing the amount of discrimination that black people face.
Yeah.
And also what it's doing on a negative way for Asians as well, is it's putting a blanket over all of us and saying that we're all the same.
Yeah. I think something so interesting is that when my parents get really defensive and they say, oh yeah, we experienced racism too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can put racism on a spectrum.
Yes.
The racism that they experience is different from the racism that mm-hmm. black people experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we could all argue that the racism that black people experience is a lot, it's like heavier and it's worse than, oh, I'm like generalizing really hard. My parents have good intentions, you know, they're nice people, but they think all racism is the same, and they can't comprehend they're not willing to understand or try to understand what black people face, because in their eyes, they've experienced racism and they're like, if we can get over it, they can get over it as well. Like, they lump it all together. Like, to them, racism is racism, but like, nah, man, there's stronger levels of racism. There's more fucked up mm-hmm. types of racism out there that you don't happen to experience because you're not black.
Mm-hmm.
I came across something the other day on Instagram as well, but then it was just like the idea that black parents have to teach their kids from a very young age how to behave around police,
mm-hmm.
which is so fucked up. Mm-hmm. Police aren't meant to be there to protect you. Mm-hmm. But when they have to teach their kids, like, hey, when you encounter a policeman, let's just say they pull you over in the car, keep your hands on the wheel.
Mm.
Don't move your hands. Don't try not to talk back. Be very respectful. Stuff like that. And I'm like, fuck, man. My parents never told me that shit because I didn't need to know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fucked up. You know, black parents would have to teach their kids this shit from a young age. Imagine growing up with that sort of mentality in the first place. I approached my mum with this. I was like to mum, hey, did you ever have to teach me that? Like, you know, when police pull me over, what's the first thing I should do? She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah. Like, she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, should I keep my hands on the wheel? Do I have to be really polite, really respectful? She's like, what? She was really confused. I'm like, that's what black parents teach their kids. And then she just went quiet. And I'm like, how fucked up is that? The fact that they have to teach their children to behave a certain way around police. Otherwise, there's a chance they might fucking die. That was really powerful to me. And I was hoping that if I said, if my mom could understand that, like how protective, because, you know, she's a mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's what you have to teach your kids and how fucked up that is, it's like a different lens that she can use to kind of try to understand the Black Lives Matter. Because, I don't know, my parents, they just don't, it's like they refuse to listen to me talk about police brutality because they think it doesn't exist. To them, police are there to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you follow the law, you obey the law, you're fine. But there are people out there who follow the law, obey the law and still get fucked just because they're black, which is crazy. And my parents can't see that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a hard conversation to have. And I've spoken to other people who have had the similar conversation with their parents because, you know, I think because our parents are immigrants as well and they've come from a poorer country to Australia to try to build a better life for their kids. And in their succession, and because they've experienced their own levels of racism, it's hard sometimes to just change their mind overnight and to get through to them. But hopefully having these conversations will actually, you know, as you said, let your mum see it through a different light. And it might not happen straight away. I think we have to accept that it's okay that it's not going to happen overnight. Change is not going to happen overnight. Like, it takes a lot of balls to have the conversation with someone like your parents.
Yeah, man. It is so fucking frustrating. Oh my God, I just want to throw, a brick through a window. It's literally like talking to a brick wall sometimes. When I first started, doing research and I was, you know, having these sort of conversations with my brother at the dinner table. And when I talk to my brother, I speak in English. And my parents, they don't really understand English that much. They'll overhear and they'll hear, some words here and there. And then they'll start voicing their opinion and it's very
very conservative.
Very conservative sort of viewpoints. And then it's just me and my brother arguing against them and would have very heated debates and discussions and we'll be yelling at each other and all that crazy stuff. And there was even one stage where there was a post on Instagram that was addressing the Black Lives Matter movement and everything. And it was written in Vietnamese. So I was thinking, okay, maybe this will be a good resource to give to my parents so they can read it and hopefully, you know, shed some light and shed some understanding, whatever. I showed it to my mum. She refused to even give me a chance to explain it to her because she thinks that my viewpoint is so is ridiculous. Yeah, she's like, it's because you're young and like stop causing trouble. I don't want to read your bullshit.
It's hard because they have lived with this mindset for so long. And then all of a sudden when they are met with people that challenge them, their immediate coping mechanism to it is, all right, let's just put a guard up and be like, nah, I'm not gonna absorb anything you say.
And it's also to a certain degree, they think they're right. They're always right because it's the whole respect your elders sort of thing.
Yeah.
If I talk back to them, they're like, don't disrespect me, the fuck. I know everything. I am God.
But also it's that whole idea of, we've spoken about this in a previous episode where, you know, you've got to respect the authorities. So in their mind, when they see something like this happen, they're like, well, the police, as you said, are, you know, here to protect and all that. So in their head, because the police are seen as this protective authority, then it's not necessarily their fault for what happened. And that's the sad thing. I had a conversation with my parents as well, and it was about the protests because, Twi, I remember you really wanted to go to the protest that was happening in Melbourne. And this was, you know, Black Lives Matter, but this was to also support the Indigenous communities in Australia. And I really wanted to go as well. And so I spoke to them about it, and I was actually quite surprised at my parents' reactions. I didn't know how they would react, and I was kind of scared that, you know, they wouldn't be accepting and I would have to have this uncomfortable discussion with them about why it's important. Mm. But my mom actually said, "Tiana, you know what? If this pandemic wasn't happening, I would be all for you going to this. Like, really? I'm all for the cause." Mm. And that made me really happy because I was like, wow, my mom, she's so understanding about all this. Obviously, if I get sick, that's one thing, but I don't want to get my family sick. So I understood where she was coming from. Mm. And then I brought up with my dad, and my dad, I was also very surprised. He was like, you know, it's a good thing. He yeah. understands why protests happen. And I think it had to do with the fact that there are sometimes protests that happen for the Vietnamese community. I'm not saying it's of the same magnitude as Black Lives Matter, but there are protests that happen. We've got family members that would sometimes go like Canberra.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not too sure what the political agenda is there, but I know mm. that is a thing. And so I think they've both seen the political change that can perhaps come from these protests, so mm. they understood that. But yeah, I'm so proud of you, Tui, for like, without getting too mushy-mushy, I'm so proud of you for taking that step and talking to your parents about it and challenging them when their views and your views don't necessarily align.
This happens quite often, you know, all the time, but because it is a heavy topic.
Yeah. It's a hard topic to talk about, and when you bring it up, it can be scary because we're kind of raised to obviously just not talk back and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
But this is a positive step, and I think it's a way that we can try to help this cause. You know, we're not moving a mountain, but we're doing something that will hopefully influence.
Me talking about it and bringing it up all the time, even if it causes heated debates, I think it's actually working. A few days ago, I was talking about incarceration rates in America, because I recently watched a documentary called 13th.
Yes.
And it talked about like what America has gone through post-slavery and how different things were implemented to keep black people in check.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just different ways of like trying to hold them down. It's so fucked up.
It shows all the loopholes in the system.
Yeah.
Like on the surface level, it might seem like, yeah, we're all for anti-slavery, but like, you know, if you actually read the fine print, it's still in favor of this white superiority.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons why incarceration is so high is because it's fucking profitable.
Yeah.
It's profitable to have more prisoners in general because of cheap labor. And then the whole system isn't easier to take down because it's going to lose millions and millions for the rich motherfuckers out there who are profiting off this shit. Anyway, okay, so that's a whole side story. I was talking about the documentary with my brother at the dinner table, and my mum was sitting there as well. And then she looks up to us. She's like, "So what are you guys talking about?" And we begin telling her, you know, start off really calm. That's how the conversations usually go. Starts off calm and then it escalates really quickly. But this time she didn't say anything. She just sat there and listened to us talk. And yeah, I was so surprised. She just, instead of yelling back at me and saying other stupid shit, I don't know if it's because she's not as angry today or she's like in a good mood, but that gave me hope. Mm-hmm. Maybe like my constant talking is actually getting to her. Because like, you know, the more you talk about it, then people will begin to understand like, hey, this girl, she seems like she cares about it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's worth listening to.
Mm-hmm. Something that I've kind of learned over this period, when people would say things like all lives matter, I'll be honest, I didn't see the danger of that.
Yeah, same.
But the more reading that I did about it, about how that minimizes and mitigates and just really downplays. Yeah.
Fucked up shit black people go through.
And it sucks that it's taken me until now to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I know now not to say that stuff. And I know that, you know, if someone says something like that, then I'll be able to call them out on it. There's a lot of actions that we aren't able to do, but with like the tools and resources and shit that's online, we've been able to at least make a step in the right direction and of how to change and how to be better allies towards black people. Tui, you actually attended the protest in Melbourne.
Yeah, I did.
Can you tell us a bit about your experiences? You know, what was it like being in that atmosphere? And was it what they show on TV?
So it's my first time ever going to a protest. I've never been to one before. And I've always seen myself as a person who wouldn't go to a protest. I don't know why. No one I know goes to those sort of things. For some reason, I feel as though there's a stigma behind it.
I honestly think that people associate people that go to protests as those nothing against vegans, by the way. preaching vegan activists that shove these beliefs down people's throats. I think that's everyone's picture of what a protest is. So everyone kind of just shies away from it. I don't know about you two, but I feel as though, especially our Asian friends, I just cannot imagine anyone actually going to a protest. And I don't know. What does that say?
I don't know. Because I really wanted to go to this protest that was happening in Melbourne. I was nervous asking my friends. Honestly, I was just like, I didn't even know who to ask. And I reached out to only a handful of people. And me doing that in the first place, I was actually nervous. I don't know why. Like, why am I nervous? Yeah, because I guess I didn't want to come off as like a preachy ass motherfucker. Everyone was either busy or didn't want to go because of COVID, which is like, fair enough. But I ended up going with my cousin. But she didn't stay for long because she had other things to do. So we both got there and she was with me for about an hour and then she left. So I marched alone for a bit and then I ended up making friends with someone who was marching nearby because we were both alone. The protest itself was fucking peaceful as fuck. There was no rioting, no looting. Everyone was just like walking and chanting and that was it. From my surroundings, it was just very, 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 very peaceful. It was just people marching down the street with like fucking signs and shit, chanting out some stuff. And yeah, one thing I did notice though, there were like no Asians there. There were a few, did bump into some every now and then. It was probably like 1 to 100. If I was to look around me, I'll probably be able to count the number of Asians on one hand.
I think it does have to do with the fact that we were brought up to just respect authority. And I think something that my dad actually mentioned was, you know, Daniel Andrews advised us not to do the protests because the government or because the authorities, they advise against doing something, then they're more like, as a society, more likely to kind of just abide and try to listen to it rather than say what we feel and stand up back. Like, do you think that's what it is?
Like, when I told my parents that I wanted to go to the protest, they were like, what the fuck? The government said no. Can't believe this is still happening anyway. They disregarded the whole idea, the whole notion behind the protest, the reason why it was happening. The only thing they cared about was the fact that it shouldn't be happening because the government said so. And also, well, yeah, the government said so because it's like there's a pandemic happening. Like, they didn't acknowledge anything other than that.
But I think, like, at the end of the day, something that Twee and I wanted to get across in this episode, and hopefully we've been able to by sharing, you know, our thoughts and our stories, is that this is a long road. This is a work in progress. This is not a fad. And I think it's something that we have to try to be accountable for and check in with our friends and each other about. So as we mentioned earlier on, we are not by any means experts on this matter at all. And Twee and I were still doing our best to read and consume different forms of media to learn about the Black Lives Matter movement. But we will put in the description some links that have been really helpful to us about learning about Black Lives Matter in America as well as in Australia that is happening in our own backyard. And, you know, different movies and podcasts and things that we've consumed. So yeah, hopefully, like, you know,
you got something out of this. This episode has given you a reason to start your journey on becoming anti-racist. It's not going to be easy, guys.
If you did enjoy it, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. All you need to do is select the amount of stars that you think our podcast deserves.
Five.
or write us a nice review. We really would appreciate it. It really does help our baby podcast out. And also, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castbox, and Google Podcasts.
Yes. We're also on Instagram as well. So if you'd like to chuck us a cheeky DM, check out some other material as well, follow us at unapologeticallyAZN. And that's all we've got today, guys. Thank you so much for listening in. We hope you're having a fabulous day or night or whatever time you're listening to this. And yeah, we'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Bye.